Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Real Fake Baseball for Friends with Fantasy Benefits. I am your host, Paul Martin, at Paul the Martin out on Twitter if you want to follow me. And I'm here with my co-host, as always, Walter McMichael, at Real Fake Walter on Twitter. And Walter, we're going through the Nationals tonight. They're losing Bryce Harper this year, but I still think they're a pretty interesting team. I think a lot of people still see the intrigue there. How excited are you to talk about some Washington Nationals this evening?
I like the Nationals. They're a really good team. They are one of the contenders in the NL East. They're really good, and they're not too far from me. So I might go watch some Nationals games this year.
Yeah, and last year I even met you down at National Stadium for the Futures game. That was one of the highlights of the summer. So
yeah, it was a good time.
Might have to make my way down there again. Might have to check out Camden this year too, because I have a friend that lives over near Baltimore, and that's one of the parks that I've always wanted to go to. So I think now that I've been down there once, I think it's going to be easier to go a second time. I'm pretty excited.
We'll have to do that. Camden is really, really nice. The team is really, really bad though.
Yeah, Nationals Park, yeah, but the tickets will probably be cheap, which is kind of exciting. But Nationals Park was awesome, too. It's relatively new, and it was it just had a nice look. It was, like, in a good part of the city and stuff.
It wasn't a good part of the city, but they're building it up a ton now, so it's getting nice.
All right. So I peeped the gentrification after the fact.
Yeah, there you go. Gotcha. Saw it.
All right. Yeah, but either way, it's a good place to go now, I suppose. And we got some good barbecue and some good beers over there, too. So it's kind of a nice place to go walking around a little bit. But yeah, let's go through the team that plays there. And we're going to start off with catcher, which is kind of dry. But they do have Yan Gomes, and they do have our boy Kurt Suzuki. I think you came around on Kurt Suzuki after a while. But it did take some convincing. How are you feeling about the catcher situation in Washington this season?
Yeah, how could you just not love Kurt Suzuki? But yeah, I think that Yan Gomes is going to eat into a lot of the playing time for Suzuki. I guess kind of like what the Braves did last year with Tyler Flowers. I'm not sure that Suzuki's going to play enough to be like a first catcher in two catcher leagues, but he's solid as a second catcher because he hits for a decent average and he'll give you some power. So, and it's a good lineup. It is a really good lineup. So I think that he's a fine second catcher. And then Yan Gomes is kind of just whatever. He might be somewhat interesting if Suzuki were to get hurt, but I think he's going to play slightly more than a backup does, but I think he's mostly going to play backup time.
Yeah, and nothing too exciting in the profile. I mean, last year he did hit .266 with 16 home runs, so I guess that's not too terrible. 26 doubles. I mean, he's hitting the ball, but came with 27.4% strikeout rate, so I'm not really sure how sustainable that is over the course of a season.
Yeah, it was a high BABIP, too, for him. So, like, career .298, and last year's .336. So I think it was just like a lucky BABIP year, and Steamer projects him to hit .241 this year, so that seems about right. Yeah. I think that he's just going to be – I guess maybe you could even consider him as a second catcher in two catcher leagues with how bad the position is. I think we've harped on that pretty frequently.
Definitely, especially in an NL only or something like that. I mean, it's easier to have a lucky BABIP year when you're not playing the whole year too. So if he has another hot year, it wouldn't be all too shocking, but it usually doesn't happen two times in a row. That would be kind of crazy for Yan Gomes, especially as a 31-year-old catcher.
He's now it would be 3 years removed from hitting .167 with a .201 OBP. So yeah, there is quite a bit of downside.
Yeah, there is a floor. But, I mean, I don't think he's necessarily being taken with any sort of rush in ADP. He's kind of going pretty low there. So we might as well move on, because I feel like we're talking about their catchers just a little bit too much here. It's pretty bleak, just like any catcher position on most teams. But first base, Ryan Zimmerman is someone that we might both be buying into as far as a bounce back this year. And we might even be making a trade. We were talking a little bit pre-show about this guy. But how are you feeling about Zim next year?
Yeah, I mean, I love Zimmerman this year. He's completely free again. There was no drop in skills between 2018 and 2017, so the profile looks really good. He should probably be, if he plays a full season, he should probably hit between 270 to 280 and hit 30 home runs. Really, he was, I believe, top 25 in barrels per batted ball event. If you drop it down to 100 batted ball events, because obviously he was injured last year, and that is the main problem. But he's going as I have it sorted ADP wise from the beginning of December. So he is going as the 33rd eligible first baseman off the board. So he's going really late. He's going behind, I guess, John Hicks is also catcher eligible, like Nico Goodrum, Yonder Alonso, Jay Bruce, Josh Bell, Tyler White, CJ Cron.
Yeah, Justin, the upside Smoke is definitely better with Zimmerman than most of those guys.
Yeah, and it's like the upside we kind of saw in 2017. I think we all know Zimmerman has been a really good hitter throughout his career, and I don't see any change. Yeah, in 2017, in only 576 plate appearances, he hit 36 home runs with a .303 batting average. So it's like his upside is really, really high for a guy that goes this late. Like, it's realizable upside too. So I think he's a guy that you should try and draft in literally every league.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, the only thing that I could say about Ryan Zimmerman that would be a caveat is that he does get injured quite a bit. It's not like last year was the first time that that's happened to him. So the upside is great for a pick that late. I wouldn't really worry about the injury risk since you're getting him basically for free. That doesn't really matter. I would take him over the other guys just because the upside is better, even though the injury risk is there. So just something. Yeah,
if you look at it, barrels per batted ball event, the players right behind him, he finished 23rd. Matt Carpenter, Ronald Acuna, Christian Yelich, Kyle Schwarber, Trevor Story, Javier Baez. Yeah. Those are some pretty good players.
Yeah, he hit the ball hard. That's, I mean, he always has.
I believe it was Al Melchior from Fangraphs who wrote the article where barrels per batted ball event has the highest correlation to home run to fly ball rate. So that right there should show you the power is legit. Wow. So
you
get it.
Just made me real tired with that statement, Walter. Can we move on now, please?
You're not liking the correlation? I have some good correlations coming up I'm thinking about.
You're going to have to start your own correlation podcast, I think.
No, not in this podcast.
Oh, okay,
something
good.
Something I'm working on.
All right. I can't wait to pretend to read it and maybe retweet it for you.
No, you'll like it. You'll actually like it.
Oh, I'll like it too. Okay. I'll like it too. I'll do that for you. Second base this year looks to be Brian Dozier. He was just signed in the offseason. 632 plate appearances last year as a 30-year-old, which is pretty crazy. Only 21 home runs last year, but he still had 12 stolen bases. Are we looking for a bounce back in the average, and are you buying Brian Dozier this year? I'm not sure the ADP on him right now, but what do you think about the Dozier this year?
Yeah, I think the problem with Dozier is that he is going to be a drain on your batting average. I think that's pretty safe to say, because he's never been like elite at it, but he's also had years where he hit 240, 236. Just the last 2 years where the power was kind of insane that he actually maintained a good batting average. And a lot of it slipped, like his Statcast metrics dropped. So I'm not really buying Brian Dozier. I think he's kind of what he is right now. I think the batting average might get back up to 230, 240, but I don't know. He's just like a solid – I guess he does give you solid all-around production and home runs and stolen bases, but part of the issue was a lot of his value came from just like accumulating like 700 plate appearances every year. And that just drove his runs and RBI totals. And I just don't see it without him hitting leadoff, because right now he's projected to hit sixth. So he's going to see quite a bit of drop off there.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with Dozier, because I feel like if you can get him as your middle infielder on a fantasy team, like I kind of wouldn't mind that. I feel like the upside is there, and if he does hit 240, like in an OBP league, he's going to be a little bit better too, I think, because if he hits 240, that OBP could be like, you know, 330, which isn't too bad, especially if it's coming with 25 home runs and 12 stolen bases, which is probably what could happen again, because he's going to play. It just depends on if he can accumulate, like you said. It's just, if he's playing middle infield on your fantasy team and he's getting those numbers, I don't think the accumulation matters as much, because that's still going to be some pretty good production.
Yeah, he's currently going 149 average.
149 ADP.
Yeah, so he's going
too high.
Yeah, so I think I'm...
That's what, like 10th round in 15-team leagues?
Round,
that's crazy.
So it is relatively high, but it's not high for the name. So I think I'm kind of out on him.
I guess I was just like, I guess over... I was undervaluing the name that Brian Dozier has, the name value, you know? I didn't realize that it was still...
He was going, what, like 3rd, 4th round the last year, so...
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, I guess I've just been out on Dozier for a little while then, just because he was being drafted so high. I feel like that was crazy. Trey Turner this year, I feel like is a...
I don't think we need to go on. He's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Do we really need to say much more?
I mean,
he's going to be one of the league leaders in stolen bases, and he gives you some power.
He's a beast. That's pretty much it. You don't want to... Wow, that's
it. He's an easy one.
You interrupted me.
You're welcome.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Well, I guess we can move on then if you really want to.
Do you have any argument for that or any rebuttal, anything to add?
I don't know. I feel like he could – no, I guess not. He's going to be a first-round pick. Go for it. That's it. He's a first-round pick. Don't be afraid to draft him. How about that? I feel like maybe some people are afraid to draft him. Don't.
Yeah, maybe. He's good. He's great.
He's good.
First-round pick.
Third base, Anthony Rendon. He's just a great hitter. I don't think that there... What could you say about Anthony Rendon? Is there anything that you... He doesn't get the stolen bases anymore, which kind of sucks, but he's gonna play. He's going to hit for average. He's going to have a high OBP, and he's going to probably have about 25 home runs again next year, hitting at the top of the lineup, hopefully, finally, for the full season. But how do you feel about Rendon this year?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you said it. He's going to hit for a great average. He's going to hit like 25 home runs, not going to steal bases, but have good counting stats, great in OBP, just all-around good hitter. He's just like, you know what you're going to get with that pick. So wherever you feel comfortable taking that profile is where you should take him.
Yep. Turner and Rendon are still, I mean, even without Harper, they're anchors to a lineup in their own right. And then they have a couple
the wonder
guys.
Kid.
They have a couple guys in the outfield that could also help. So I guess we can go into the outfield. We got you want to start with the Wonder Kid, or we could go can go somewhere else if you really want. It's up to you now. You keep interrupting me. I don't want to lead you in the wrong direction. Just bring me on the path that you want to be led on.
I only interrupted you one time. It was one time total.
That's honestly enough. That's all it takes.
But if you want, I can definitely talk about Juan Soto. Like, that, he's just amazing.
Yeah, he really is.
Like, people talk about the ground ball rate. Yes, it's like, generally, I don't like that in a profile, but it's just like, just watch him. He just destroys pitches to left field. Like, he just sits there, waits, comes into the zone and just smacks it to left field, and they're bombs.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about the power with Juan Soto. Once he starts yanking some of these, like, it's just like, he's just amazing.
Imagine someone worrying about his power because of ground balls. I just don't understand that. What goes through people's heads?
I mean, I can understand the like, you want him to hit more fly balls, but I just think he's a guy like Yelich.
Yeah, I was going to say, after seeing Yelich, what he did last year, how could you even...
Just like, like, this isn't Eric Hosmer hitting ground balls and fly balls. When he hits a fly ball, he destroys it.
Yeah.
Like this is – that's just what both of those guys do. And, like, I don't know how else to describe him. Like, 400 OBP as a 19-year-old. And I know people say you don't get points because he's a 20-year-old. But it's just like, yeah, but he did this as a 19-year-old. And he even chipped in 5 stolen bases. So it's not like he has no speed. He could still get, I would think, like, around 8 to 10 stolen bases. So – yeah, just invest in Juan Soto. He's going to be amazing for a long time.
Yeah, and I feel like it's not even just the OBP in it of itself. It's like he doesn't swing at bad pitches. He had a 20% O swing. Like, you know, the major league average is 31%. He was at 22% O swing, sorry. But the major league average is 31%. His swinging strike rate is 7.6%. The major league average is 10.7%. So yeah, he doesn't get points for being 20 years old, but for being a 20-year-old who barely played any minor league baseball, came into the major leagues and can see pitches better than average major leaguers, it's something insanely special. So yeah, I would invest in him pretty much anywhere you can get him.
He has 68 games above rookie ball before he made the majors.
So yeah, whatever you want to say about his age, like, and that not counting for anything, no, absolutely does. And another young guy that's probably going to play for them next year, Victor Robles. I know you've been on him for a while, so have I. I think everyone has, but he's finally going to get his shot this year, it looks like, with Bryce Harper moving out of town. And I'm super excited about finally seeing him in a full season at the major leagues. And he's still so young. How are you feeling about him this season?
Yeah, I love him. He's another guy that you want to have on all your teams. Like, I think he's still cheap enough. Like, Juan Soto, I can see not wanting him because his price can get moved up a little high. But Victor Robles, I mean, it's like he just has such a fantasy-friendly profile because he could hit 15 home runs and then steal 35 to 40 bases while hitting 290. Right. Like, and that wouldn't surprise anyone, and that's essentially – Trey Turner.
I was just going to outfield Trey Turner. That's basically what he is.
And it's like Seamer projects him to hit 274 with 13 home runs and 28 stolen bases. It's like he's going to be pretty much like Starling Marte, like, over his career. And that's a really, really good player. And Marte's been pretty underrated for a lot of his career. I think it'd actually be Marte with – I would expect him to have a slightly better OBP than Marte had in his career. So it's just a really fantasy friendly profile, and I think you want to invest in him.
Yeah, I can't say much more. I mean, it's the steals, it's the power, it's a little bit of everything, and I feel like if he can sneak his way up into the top of that lineup, that would be great. But I mean, as long as you're it's kind of like we were saying with the Angels, like, the closer you hit to Mike Trout, the better your stats are going to be. So the closer you are to, like, Anthony Rendon, the closer you are to Trey Turner, the closer you are to Juan Soto, the better your stats are going to be. So even if you're hitting ninth and those guys are hitting, you know, 1, 2, 3, that's still going to be a fine place to be in the lineup. Unfortunately, Adam Eaton might still hit number one, and I'm not really too sure. I've never been a fan of Adam Eaton, but I don't know. Why don't you try to convince me to like Adam Eaton? Or maybe you won't. I don't really care.
Yeah, so the thing about Adam Eaton is the one thing he can really do is hit and get on base. So he has a career 363 OBP, sorry. But he doesn't really have much home run or stolen base upside. He might get you like 15-15, which is nice if it comes with the 300 average. It's 280, it's a little less so. But the one thing he should be pretty elite at is runs scored if he continues to hit leadoff and stays healthy all year. It wouldn't surprise me if he was pushing for the league lead in runs scored just because of that. But yeah, it's kind of a not too appealing profile because he's also pretty injury prone, so.
And he's also a stat accumulator, so.
Yeah. So it's like he's an accumulator that's injury prone. It's and it's not a super high upside.
Yeah, no, it's really not. It's like maybe 15 and 20 at the end of the year. It's not.
No, like 15.
Yeah, it's 20's gonna be 20's rough. Being generous.
It's not like what we were talking about with Zimmerman, where it's like he has a realizable upside.
Yeah,
Eaton is just kind of like, yeah, he's also injury prone, and it's like if he plays the whole year, he'll be solid.
That's so bad.
I mean, that's the truth, though.
He'll be solid. Okay, there you go.
Solid.
Yeah, and if you want that on your team, I mean, if you want to lose, but if you want to lose, maybe take Michael Taylor and Wilmer Defoe too, or what do you think?
Yeah, Michael Taylor. You think your boy Donkey Teeth is finally done with Michael Taylor?
Well, he still owes us a podcast appearance for something. I forget what it was, but there's got to be some Michael Taylor apology on that podcast if there is one.
Oh, I think it was his 30-30 call on Michael Taylor.
Oh, God. Well, he almost got the 30 stolen bases.
Seems so long ago. But yeah, Michael Taylor, I guess if he gets a chance, he can get you a lot of stolen bases, because the first half last year, I think he stole 23 in the first half and one in the second. I'm almost positive that's how it was, because he was really bad. Oh, no, I was wrong. He stole 24 in the first half and zero in the second.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's special.
So he had one stolen base from July to the end of the year. So before July, he had 23 of his 24 stolen bases.
Well, yeah, that was while Eaton wasn't playing, right?
Yeah, so you don't really want Michael Taylor unless you really, really need stolen bases and one of these other outfielders gets hurt.
Yeah, and you don't want Wilmer Defoe at all.
Are you gonna expand on why you don't want Wilmer Defoe?
I don't think I need to.
No?
Do you? Do you need convincing?
No, I don't need convincing.
Okay. I think if you do, just go – you could probably figure it
just
out
go
yourself.
Go look up Wilmer Defoe.
It's just nothing. We'll move to starters because I think there is a lot here. Damn, we could probably get into this for a while, but Max Scherzer is the starter. Well, let's go through him because we don't really need to talk about him, right? He's probably – he's – not maybe not your number one. Is he your number one? Chris Sale's probably my number one.
Yeah, I think he's going number one. I think that's the consensus. Is Scherzer's one. I think you can make a case for. I'm conflicted. I'm not sure. It's either Scherzer or Sale for me. One of those two.
Scherzer or Sale. All right. No DeGrom. You're not a DeGrom fan, guy. For
no,
number
he's
one.
DeGrom's my number three. That's
who's your number four?
I don't even know.
Who's your number five?
All of them are Trevor Bauer.
Oh God. Well, there goes our podcast. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. And I guess we're probably off the air now. You're not allowed to talk about Trevor Bauer anymore. We
okay. I love Trevor
Bauer.
You
look like Trevor Bauer.
Pitcher.
What?
I do love Trevor Bauer as a fantasy pitcher.
Yeah, not as a Twitter follow. let's talk about Washington Nationals, Walter. Stop being
distracted.
All
right, Scherzer. Yeah,
well, we talked
he's
about
either one
Scherzer.
Or two.
He's one or two. We're going to go to Strasburg now. We're getting distracted. Go to Strasburg. I mean, what are you doing with Strasburg? Because I feel like last year was the year we were all waiting for, where he had the bad ERA. He had 130 innings. It was like, this is the worst-case scenario for Strasburg. And he still had 156 strikeouts. He still had the double-digit wins. And I don't know what it's doing to his ADP, but I can't help but wanting – if he's going to be a value, I want him again.
Yeah, he's going as the 17th starting pitcher off the board. So not
that's
really a value.
Kind of fair, yeah. I was going to say that's not – it's still the name. It's the name value.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to take him unless he falls a little bit. Yeah. I like him. Obviously, I love the skills. But I think at a certain point, you kind of just have to realize that Strasburg's innings pitch, he just kind of can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And it's like he's projected for 177.
That's a lot.
Innings pitched by Steamer, which, I mean, he pitched 175 in 2017, but the other 3 years, it's been 130, 147, 127. Then he had a 215 in 2014, which looks like the outlier. I think that it's just tough to invest in him there. And I get it because it's also – he's right near James Paxton, who's kind of
the same.
The same profile there. So I think it's pretty fair, even though Paxton went 160 last year. I just think that I can't really take him that high personally.
Right. I think that's a good spot in the draft, though, where if you're in a draft that doesn't like Strasburg, or, you know, some of the guys in your draft have been burned by Strasburg before, whatever. You know, these narratives that go on during the drafts. He could slip in the draft, and that's a spot where if he does slip a few rounds, then you can take him and definitely get some value out of it. Paxton, too, that's the same range if you have something like that happen in your draft. But, yeah, that's probably the only way I would take him, because I think best-case scenario, he jumps into the top 15, but that's about it. I don't think he can see his way into the top 10 again unless he does have an outlier type year. I mean, 215 innings is an outlier for anyone nowadays. So I think we can throw that out the window completely.
Yeah, you just need like 180 out of them.
Exactly.
You need 180.
Yeah, which is not out of the question. I mean, he can definitely bring that to the table, but it's going to take something special for Strasburg next year to really give you a ton of value from where he's being drafted. Patrick Corbin, another one, 200 innings last year, kind of came out of nowhere, and the strikeout rate was crazy. We all know what he did. I mean, he lost velocity in his fastball, still found a way to strike out almost everyone. His breaking ball is absolutely insane. Is it sustainable for another full year, Walter? Tell me.
I think I've kind of decided that I'm not on the Patrick Corbin train. I just don't think a guy who throws the ball in the zone only one third of the time, like, yeah, that might work for a full year, but as people kind of get better scouting reports on what he's actually doing last year, I think teams are going to start to lay off of him in a little. And of course, you know, they're a bad hitter, so some of them aren't going to just be able to lay off of his wipeout slider, but I think the league will adjust a little bit more, and I think he's going to be more of like a starting pitcher two, as opposed to the starting pitcher one he's getting drafted as.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I'm not really sure if he's going to give you any value in the fantasy world if he's being drafted that high. So,
oh yeah, he's going as the 15th starting pitcher off the board. So just ahead of Paxton and Strasburg,
right?
Jack Flaherty, Zach Greinke.
I mean, it's a fair range for sure. He put up the stats. He showed that he could do it, and I think he does have the stuff to do it again. But you're right; he's gonna have to try to make adjustments because the hitters are gonna be adjusting just as quickly. And you know, it might not have been done last year, but they're gonna have a whole offseason to figure this out. He didn't switch leagues or anything like that, so he's gonna be facing most of the same competition. And, you know, Washington's not the best park to pitch in. It's nothing crazy.
I think it's fairly pitcher friendly.
Is it really? I never really knew. I always thought of it more of like an average sort of park.
Yeah, it might be average. I mean, Arizona was pretty, I think
last year played pretty average.
Yeah, pretty average. So it's probably a neutral change.
Yeah, it's really not much of a change for Patrick Corbin. It's just about if he makes more adjustments than the hitters and can stay ahead of them. So if that, you know, that's pretty much what it is, because he did show us the stuff. He showed that he can get the strikeouts. He showed that he could pitch the innings, and he showed that he could do it for a full season. So, I mean, you kind of have to buy into it. If he's going as the 10th pitcher off the board, that's probably his ceiling at the end of the
15,
year. 15. So I think, I mean, if he does what he did last year, or even if he does it in like 180 innings, that's going to be a pretty good pitcher. So it's going to be a case where if he's sliding in my draft, I might take a shot at him on one or two teams. That would probably be the case. But that's what it is with most pitchers. I don't usually take pitchers unless they're sliding. I that's just my strategy overall, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what my strategy is right now.
It's all about the draft, too. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing. How about Joe Ross? Any interest in Joe Ross this year? I mean, he kind of showed some stuff before going down with Tommy John surgery, and he looked to be a lot better than his brother. So, what are you doing with him this year?
Not drafting him.
Okay, fair. Is he being drafted highly?
No. There's no way he's being drafted highly. I didn't even check. But I guarantee it's not.
But you just don't like him.
Yeah, I think there are just more interesting flyers to take. He's going 455 overall.
Yeah, so he is the definition of a flyer.
Yeah, he's just like a late round flyer.
And I'm guessing you're not going to touch Eric Fedd, because if you're going to touch him, if you're not going to touch Joe Ross and you're going to touch him, then I don't understand you.
Well, generally, I'm not going to touch any of these guys, but I don't want to draft any of them.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Why you gotta make it weird?
No, but I'm not. I'm not gonna draft Eric Fetty either. Even though he wasn't as terrible as his ERA suggested last year.
But he's still not good.
Yeah. I think this is what happens when you get to the back end of most rotations, is that
they're not good.
They look ugly. Yeah.
Sorry for yawning, but Eric Fetty makes me tired. So we can move on to the relievers.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, because Sean Doolittle, we love to talk about. I think he's
I love Sean Doolittle.
Yeah, he's so fun. I mean, he's fun to watch. He's fun to follow on Twitter, unlike Trevor Bauer. He's just a fun guy. I love when he's pitching. I hate when he's injured. I like when he's on my team. I hate when he's with someone else. And I just traded him last year, so that's a real pain for me.
Yeah, I will be honest, I would not be surprised if Sean Doolittle ends the year as the number one overall relief pitcher.
Yeah, it could happen. I mean, he's got some of the best stuff in the league.
Really good.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he has some of the best stuff. He just throws his fastball.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's still some of the best stuff. I mean,
nobody can touch it.
Right. I mean, when Mariano was throwing his pitch, you would have said that he had some of the best stuff in the league.
Well, yeah, he had one of the best pitches.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
But yeah, Doolittle, he just throws his fastball, nobody can hit it, and he's on a really good team. It wouldn't surprise me if he just piled up a ton of saves and a lot of strikeouts, stayed healthy, super low ERA, super low whip. I think he's one of the closers I really want to get this year.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we have this whole rundown here, but I'm not sure if there's anyone else I really want to talk about on here, unless you want to get your thoughts in about your boy Trevor Rosenthal.
Yeah, I think that there's a chance, because we know that, just like a lot, I guess the Nationals must just like to have a lot of injury-prone players. Doolittle's had a lot of injuries in his career, so I think that if he were to get hurt, Rosenthal, they brought him in for a 1-year deal with an option. And, I mean, he was dominant the last time we saw him before Tommy John. So he could legitimately be a top five closer if Doolittle were to get hurt.
Yeah, I still think he's a good pitcher. And, I mean, he was getting some hype on Twitter, too, putting some videos up, looking pretty good out there in the summertime. So, I mean, Trevor Rosenthal was very exciting as a pitcher for the Cardinals, so I think it could definitely happen again. It's not like it's really tough to come back from Tommy John surgery anymore, and he's only being asked to pitch one inning, so that's, you know, not too crazy. Kyle Barraclough, anything like that? Coda Glover?
Nah, I'm good on Kyle Barraclough. Justin Miller's kind of interesting. He could be a good setup guy to use for
some long
for some ratios and wins. Coda Glover, I mean, people used to love him. Took their little victory lap when he got a couple save chances and got demolished.
He's trash. I'm sorry. He's trash, though.
Yeah, he had a 12.7% K rate last year and a 14.1% walk rate in the majors last year. So if that entices you, go ahead and take Kota Glover.
Maybe he could try catching.
He could try catching. Oh, that's brutal. Yeah, the rest of the guys, you got two, Matt Grace and Sammy Solis are just the lefties. Austin Voth, interest you?
No.
No? Okay. Maybe either.
Anyone, Carter Kaboom, anyone like that? Anyone you're looking at in the minor leagues that, like, maybe could come up and make a push?
He's not coming up.
I don't think he's coming up this year either, but you never know. I don't know. Want to get your take on things, Walter. Maybe you'll make a bold claim. I want to leave no stone unturned.
My bold claim is Sean Doolittle finishes the year as the number one relief pitcher. There you go.
Yeah, that was pretty bold. My bold claim is that Adam Eaton ends the year and he was solid.
That's bold. That means he stayed healthy. That's pretty bold.
Hey, I'm only here to be bold. I'm a bag of Doritos around here. I'm just saying.
I thought you were going to go with Michael Taylor 30-30.
Let's just say 40-40 at that point. Let's just say 50-50. Close. Let's just say 50-50 out of the league by the end of the year. That's oh my God, I'm on a roll. We should get out of here before I say something stupid.
Yeah, you already did the whole time.
That's what the show is built on.
It was good. I'm the host. Talk the Nationals. I think we've put out a couple of them. I think our last one that we're doing is Yankees.
Yep. That should be exciting. I like the Yankees. You know that?
You do like the Yankees.
Did you know that?
Maybe they will have a Manny Machado or Bryce Harper on their team by then.
Maybe. Maybe they heard our podcast is coming up. Maybe if we give them a deadline.
Yeah, we got to let them know.
Yeah, I'll text Cash. I think that's it, right? Can we go?
We'll end it on that bad joke. All right.
Okay. That's it. Thanks for listening, guys. At Paul the Martin, if you want to see more bad jokes on Twitter. This is how we're ending, Walter, just so you know. At Real Fake Walter is my co-host. And I guess that's it. We're going to get out of here. Thanks for listening to us ramble for quite a while about the Washington Nationals. And I guess that's the end. Subscribe to the podcast for more so you can get our Yankees thing.